welcome to the Tales of Teaching podcast, a place where I hope you can find inspiration, creativity, and most importantly, someone to relate to. Teaching can be tough, as I'm sure you know, so I'm hoping this can be a space where we can motivate one another to take teaching to a whole new level. Welcome back to the Tales of Teaching podcast. For those of you that have listened to episode one, thank you again for coming back on board for episode two. For those of you that have not listened to episode one and this is your first drop-in, I highly recommend that you go back and listen to episode one. On that episode, I did cover using podcasts in the classroom and kind of what I've seen from that. And I'm going to apologize, I'm kind of coming down with a little bit of a cold, so if you notice that my voice maybe sounds a little bit differently, that's what it is. A huge thank you to my husband for passing on his cold to me. So I always like laugh at how the beginning of podcasts and YouTube videos always start, because they always start up with like a, what's up guys, or hey, how's everyone doing? And I always like stress on how to try and make it different. So here it is, I guess. So I wanted to talk to you guys today about kind of teacher Instagram and how to, I guess, find success from using a teacher Instagram. And I say find success because I think a lot of the things that people worry about are not really what truly distinguish a successful Instagram. And so I'm going to kind of dive right in, and not gonna lie, I totally recorded a whole other podcast on almost growing your Instagram, and I deleted it because I was like, you know what, I want to kind of be honest with you guys and kind of talk about what I truly view Instagram as and how you should be using it as, especially if you are a teacher. So let's dive right in, I guess. So again, I'm going to go ahead and kind of start with how I started my teacher Instagram. So I don't know if you knew this, but I actually got my master's in digital learning and technology at Azusa Pacific University. And one of the courses that I want to say was like for my very last class, they had us create a blog, literally just, I think for like the final like capstone. And so I created my blog that I still have to this day. And she kind of, one of the parts to creating the blog was kind of like how you were going to drive traffic to it, I guess. So I decided to make an Instagram that kind of would drive traffic to my blog. And after I had passed the class and after I got my master's, it kind of occurred to me that, well, what happens if I keep this going? And the truth is, for all of you guys that are maybe nervous to start a blog or nervous to start an Instagram, is honestly, nothing happens for you starting it. Did you invest any money? Probably not. There really is no loss for starting it. If anything, you really only have items and things to gain. So, started off the blog and Instagram, and I kind of would go kind of in and out of like being consistent with it, posting on it. And to be quite honest, I think the very first thing that I posted on my Instagram was like a boomerang of me Velcroing something, which to me sounds so funny. And if you actually scroll all the way down to like my first couple pictures, it kind of really didn't have much of a continuity, I guess you could say. So I guess tip number one that people always ask me, like, I'm about to start a blog, I'm about to start an Instagram, like, what's your biggest tip or piece of advice? And to be quite honest, my biggest piece of advice is probably to just dive right in. I want you to kind of try your Instagram or to try your blog the way that works for you, the way that makes it feel passionate for you and not like a job. I love writing. It's one of the areas that I focus on pretty heavily in my classroom as well in my day-to-day life. All throughout high school and college, I would actually edit my husband's papers. And so it's just something that I just truly enjoy. And so that's why I like blogging. If you do not like writing, then I highly suggest you don't start a blog, because guess what? You are not going to keep up with it. And it's going to kind of almost feel like a chore to you. So that's tip number one. Kind of just dive right in and don't wait around for it to be perfect. And this is speaking from Miss Perfectionist over here. I overthink everything. I want to make sure that it's like at the highest quality that I see fit. I'm kind of like my dad in that sense. I like to kind of research things, take pieces from things that I like, and then kind of put my own spin on it. And so while that's nice to do that, it takes me a lot longer to actually put things kind of out there. And I've gotten better about it as I've kind of gotten on, like, you know what? I like it. It looks good. Kind of slap it out there. And I think people kind of almost respond to that better than when it is like super picture perfect. I don't know. People just kind of like when things look more realistic. And so, to be quite honest, if you're stressing about, oh, well, I don't have the perfect profile picture. I don't have the perfect caption to say. Well, it's fine. Just kind of put what you're thinking at that moment, and just kind of put it out there and see what happens. And the biggest thing, and this is should be kind of self-explanatory or kind of right out there, is that you, as even as a teacher, right, when you're kind of doing things, and I'm taking this back to my very first year. You come out of your credential program thinking like you're going to be the best teacher in the world, and your first year of teaching, you s pretty quickly figure out, ooh, there's a lot to this teaching thing that was not in my textbooks, that was not what my professor said. And you just kind of got better as you kind of lived it. Well, sorry to tell you, that's how owning or using a blog and an Instagram is. And I'm going to tell you this right now, the more you put into it, the more you will get out of it. And I guess it's going to kind of run into tip number two, and that is going to be obviously spending time on the mediums that you are using. So if you're an avid Twitter user, I was going to call it a Twitterer, Twitter user, Instagram user, blogger, YouTuber, whatever it is, you need to make sure you're putting time in it. You're not just going to slap up a video, slap up a picture, and then like log off. I actually, as soon as I post a picture, I will actually hang on the app for a while to respond to people right away. I like to get in the habit of liking people's comments as soon as they comment on my feed, just for myself, so I know that I saw it. And just to kind of share with them, like, hey, I saw what you said and I appreciate it. And I was actually talking with somebody the other day, and isn't that the whole reason why it's called social media, right? You want to build a connection and you want to socialize with others on the internet. And so by interacting with the people that you hope to have follow you, you're building that connection. And that's kind of what we go onto social media for, is to connect with other people, to get inspired, to find ideas. And so I love to make sure to engage. When you comment on my picture, you best believe you're going to get a comment back, especially if I just posted the picture within a matter of seconds. And some of you are probably thinking, like, wow, that sounds really time consuming. And honestly, it's not. I pick moments during the day that it's not interfering with like my family or my day-to-day life. And again, I always get people that message me like, oh, how do you have time for it all? And you know, you For if it's something that you enjoy, you will make time for it. My husband always says it about me trying to work out, and I'll let you know how that continues to go. But back to kind of what I was saying, you want to make sure you're engaging, and you want to make sure to make time. This sounds like super anal, but I will literally schedule in moments to kind of go on my social media and kind of plan out what I'm going to do for the day or the week throughout the week. And so I literally have to schedule it out. And for me, that works because I need to pick a moment and pick a time, like, okay, this is my designated work time. Okay, this is my designated social media planning time. And you don't need to do it every single day at the planning part, but you do need to make sure you're going on the app. I would say probably at least once a day, maybe 20 minutes a day. And that's not even that much. To be quite honest, I'll probably spend anywhere from 30 to 40 minutes sometimes, depending on like how deep or how many messages and stuff that I'm getting. And I kind of obviously have gotten some of these things from Jenna Kutcher, from experience and just kind of living it. Like, I remember there was this big Instagram person, that I like had messaged and asked a question, and I get it. Trust me, like, you get thousands, sometimes hundreds of direct messages a day or comments a day, and it can kind of get a little hard to catch up. But I had messaged this person asking him a question, and they like never responded back, and it kind of was like, wah wah. Like, I kind of like lost, I didn't like just unfollow them, I wasn't like that upset, but I kind of lost like my obsession, I guess you could say, with them. I was like, well, this is like not as fun. Like, when you interact with somebody, obviously you want them to try and interact back. Like, there's no better feeling than when you comment on someone's picture that you just love and they like comment you back or message you back, and you're like, wow, okay, because you're getting that interaction back that you're putting in. And so I kind of told myself, I will always make sure to kind of put that out, what someone puts in, because there's nothing more disappointing than when you put something out there and crickets. So that's kind of my experience with that. And I'm going to pause this. Obviously, I should have maybe done this in the beginning. I am by no means no social media expert. I'm literally just kind of telling you guys things that I've kind of learned along the way, and kind of what my feelings and my opinions are. My husband also has kind of a social media account, and so we are constantly kind of putting, like, ping-ponging back and forth strategies and questions and frustrations. And so it is kind of nice when you have somebody who possibly is on kind of social media, because you can kind of like complain like, ugh, I don't know what it is this week, I just am not getting much interaction, and just kind of someone who's going to kind of feel it. And it definitely does help. Like, I have my friends that will talk strategy and stuff with, and it's just kind of nice to kind of like power team together and like think of ways to kind of really overtake this kind of platform by storm. And then with that, I kind of want to lead into my next tip, and this is going to be something I'm telling you, if you have an Instagram account, or you're going to make an Instagram account, or you've had an account before, I'm sure it's something that's crossed your mind. And I'm going to be completely honest, it's something that I used to like literally stress over. And that is kind of the numbers game, or the number side of things. I can't tell you how many times I posted a picture, I'm like, man, I thought this was going to get more likes or more comments, and I would kind of like not get depressed, obviously, but I would get like kind of down and like, ugh, and you kind of almost go, it's like almost the stages of grief, but the stages of like posting a picture on Instagram. You're really excited at first. It doesn't maybe get enough interaction that you think it's going to. Then you get like not mad at the app, but me and my husband always joke like, ugh, I'm just going to delete it. Obviously, it's dramatic, and that's the dramatic side of me. But I'm telling you, if you felt this, you just kind of got to knock it off. One of the things that kind of gets me through is realizing, well, did you create your account for the likes? Did you create your account for how many comments you can get on your pictures? Did you create your account for how much numbers you're going to get? And the answer to that should be no, especially if you came on here for a teacher Instagram. If you came on here to try and be a quote-unquote influencer, then I'm sorry to tell you, you might be heartbroken. That shouldn't be something that you're striving for. I think time and time again, you know what, I came on here because I was really frustrated during my first year of teaching, and so I wanted an outlet to be able to hopefully share with others ways that they don't feel the same way that I felt. And so every time that I feel frustrated, I think of, okay, why did you create this? Okay, that's why you created this, not for how many likes I can get on this picture or how many comments. It's more for who can I share this message with? And then I almost treat those that are following you and those who are interacting with you like they are gold, because they are. That's the reason why you created what you did, is for those people. And whether you have 10 followers, 1,000, 100,000, you are somebody who has an influence. And so that was the biggest advice. I don't even know where I heard that from, but it like totally clicked. Like, you're right. Whether you are preaching to one person or you're preaching to 100, there is somebody that's listening and just loving the things that you're saying and gonna be always your team player. And that's the audience that you have to keep thinking about. Not like, oh, no one likes my stuff, I need to delete my Instagram. That's not what it's about. And so if you're in it for that, I'm sorry to tell you, you might end up empty-handed. And to be quite honest, that's the part that I've actually unexpectedly enjoyed the most, are the connections you make. And lo and behold, if you actually take the time to connect with people, you'll find the deeper connections on there. I always try to make my conversations go as long as I can. I like learning from as many people as I can. If you use the tool correctly, you guys, you can actually find a lot of inspiration. And I can't remember if I said this before or I've heard it somewhere, but the best thing that you can do for yourself, if you are finding that you are comparing yourself to somebody on Instagram kind of in a negative light, like every time they post something, you kind of get down on yourself, like, oh, they are doing all these amazing things in my classroom and I'm just doing nothing. I'm not creative. I don't have the energy. That's not me. First of all, that's really bad negative talk to be using on yourself. But secondly, and I've actually gotten the habit of doing this, just unfollow them. And that sounds like mean and maybe honest, but if they're not being a positive light in your life, why are you following them? And so I honestly like literally went through this like Instagram, I guess, quote unquote purge of my personal and my social, or I guess business Instagram, of like unfollowing people that I'm like, you know what, they're not really putting anything into my day to day. And so you want to make sure that you're following those people that are going to continue to inspire you positively, who you connect with. Either a day-to-day, week, month, someone that you, when you hop on there, you're like, okay, I need to see what they're doing because I love it and I want to capture that. And so that to me is kind of the piece that I like to use Instagram for. Okay, so now I'm gonna kind of switch pages a little bit. I've kind of preached to you guys about what the best way to use this amazing app. And now I'm going to kind of go to kind of maybe, because obviously if you're selling, trying to sell things on Teachers Pay Teachers, you want to try and show those ideas, right? I always have people like, okay, great, all the things you told me are fabulous, but like, how do I kind of build, I guess? Because obviously the one thing that I like is kind of the more people I make connections with, obviously the bigger you're going to get, which is fun because then you get to make more connections and hopefully make more of an impact. And that to me is my goal, not so much the how many followers can I get game. And so this kind of, I guess, goes back to the beginning. One of the things, I guess, that has kind of made me, or I guess helped me grow, is making those connections. So when I first started my Instagram way back when, I just kind of would follow teachers that I thought shared my teaching style. And then what I would do is kind of look at who was following them. And then what I did was I would kind of just kind of scroll through and just either, and now, no, this is not the follow on follow game. I would kind of click on people's pages and comment and like and interact that way instead of this follow unfollow game, because like I told you before, I was trying to build meaningful connections, not just try to build followers. followers, okay? And kind of, I got lucky, and I'm sure this maybe happens to a lot of you, but I got input into one of those, like, shout out groups or comment pods, and I met like a really great group of girls. And while the intention was to kind of try and boost up our engagement by like commenting on each other's pictures, I actually like got a really wonderful connection with all of them, and it was just so fun to like be in a space where like it turned into like the group text you would have on your phone, right? We would like message each other when we did something awesome in our classroom or when we were having a bad day. And so that was something that I just loved, and I still talk to all of them to this day. I personally kind of wanted to get out of that field of doing a comment pod because to me it didn't seem very honest or generic, like not true. And so I wanted to make sure that I was getting true traffic to my page and not just like false traffic, if that makes sense. And so again, I know you guys are probably ever like overhearing me say the word connection, but that's where it's at. That's kind of what sparked my passion and what made it enjoyable, I guess, to use. The next little tip that I'm going to kind of throw in there is I want you to maybe think of 4 to 5 niches or subject matters that you're going to want to touch on your Instagram. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm sure you want to just cover everything, but it's going to make it maybe make it a little bit confusing for people that follow you. Perfect example is I'm a huge advocate of using podcasts in the classroom. You might hear me talk about it all the time. I do posts here or there about it, stories on it. I just did a podcast on it. So that is clearly like my obsession, my passion, my drive, one thing that I feel like I'm almost an expert on. Now, it would be really weird if all of a sudden one day I started posting about, oh gee, I don't know, using picture books in the classroom. And I'm just going to say that and shout out my wonderful friend Ramona Recommends, because she has the best picture book recommendations for upper grade. But that'd be like, you would not maybe expect that, because that's probably maybe not what you follow me for. And so you want to make sure that you're maybe picking like 4 or 5 things that you were going to post about. So a couple things that I like to, I really love technology. I have a passion for technology. So I like to share apps and ways that I use technology in the classroom. I love using podcasts in the classroom. So I'll touch on that. I'm obsessed with classroom decor and making your space for you. So you sometimes you'll see me post stuff like that. As well as organization, because I think that's really, really important. And then my last thing that I like to touch on is like classroom management tips and strategies, because I struggled with classroom management my first year of teaching. And so I really love to make sure to share any ideas and tips that I get. So those are the 5 that I'm constantly kind of swiveling out. So if I'm like, ooh, I haven't really done anything on classroom decor in a while, so I'll post a picture on classroom decor. And it kind of helps you kind of keep on track. Like, I'm sure if you are have a teacher Instagram, you're probably like, oh, I haven't posted in like a week and I have no idea what to post. But if you have those kind of 4 to 5 topics that you kind of always are kind of brushing up on, you'll look at your feed and say, oh, you know what? I haven't done a post on podcasts in a while. And so it'll kind of help you kind of, it'll almost inspire you to post things while kind of staying on what your passion or niche is, and or what your brand is, I guess, quote unquote. So for me, I like to kind of really brand that I love technology, podcasts, kind of room environment, okay? And so that's what you'll probably see. And now that I'm telling you, you're like, oh yeah, that's right, she just kind of have all those things. And so you want to do that, okay? Now if you try to do everything, again, like teaching, if you try to do everything, you're gonna have kind of chaos. So you need to kind of focus, like kind of take a microscope and kind of really dig deep into that rather than try to cover everything in a small amount of time. And you might also notice too that, I mean, kind of makes sense, right? focus on a couple things, you get really good at it. and you want to make sure those things are things that you're passionate about. And I kind of almost did my research a little bit to kind of see, and this is just my brain, what isn't really being talked about, and that's what you really want to drive to. So if it's something that, and this is, that sounds really hard and very vague, right? But it makes sense. What are people not doing? And you want to be the person to do it or to do it first. And I guess that's again, I apologize, that's very vague, but that's kind of what works. and so I constantly am doing research, and I'll a lot of times like search things into Google. Has this been done yet? Okay, cool. Then I'll do a blog post on that. Or I never want, you don't want, I mean, it's fine to post things, obviously, like if you find a cool thing in the target dollar section that everyone's posting about, great. That is one way, I guess, to get your name out there. But you want to make a name for yourself. And that's, I guess, one thing that I've kind of changed about what I've been doing. I want to make myself a brand, right? A brand of teaching. Like, this is what I'm doing. When you hear my Instagram name, that's what you think. Okay. And that's, I guess, what you want to think of if you really truly want your Instagram to take off and to be successful and to make those connections. And that's pretty much all I can think of. I wish I had more for you guys. I mean, I guess I'll throw this out there just because I love using it. If you're curious about design, like, I am such a freak about my grid design. And when I say grid design, I mean how my pictures look on my Instagram, which sounds funny. You're like, what? I just post and they're just there, right? No, actually, and there's a proven statistic, and I apologize, I wish I had it. People will follow you when you have kind of a cohesive Instagram grid. And that sounds funny, but it's so true. Like, think about all the people you follow. You're like, ooh, I really like how, sorry, she has, I like this lady. She has these pretty cool bright colors, right? When I see her picture, I automatically think of her. Perfect example, and I love doing little shout outs, is Teach, Create, Motivate. She has like a specific brightness to her photos, and I'm not even kidding you, when I'm kind of scrolling through the Explore page and I see a picture, I can literally tell it's hers without even looking at the username. And that's awesome. That's what you want. You want to try and create a brand for yourself and use certain color tones. And speaking of which, she has amazing photograph presets. I actually create my own, and you can do so by, and again, it's just because my dad's a photographer. He taught me all about Lightroom. So I just would kind of play around. And that's the app that I use, you guys, Lightroom, to kind of brighten and fix your photos. And then once you fix up like brightness and contrast and all that stuff, you can actually save that photo as your own preset and kind of save a library of different ones that you like. So you're not constantly sitting on the editing app and editing the heck out of your photos. And so that's another kind of tool, I guess, you can use. So I'm so sorry, I'm getting so sidetracked. So with that, with Lightroom, right, you're going to create a cohesive coloring, lighting, color scheme, right? You want something that's going to be not matchy-matchy, like you don't want the same exact colors and everything. But if you take a look at my feed, you'll kind of see I use a lots of like browns and kind of oranges and kind of those natural neutral tones, because that's just things that I'm obsessed with. I live at the beach, so you'll see probably a lot of kind of beachy, soft boho, I guess you could say, vibes. And that's just kind of how I've always been. And so, again, you maybe want to choose colors and things that kind of showcase who you are. If you're into rainbows and bright things, then that's you. Whenever I see pink or, like, confetti, I think of Ramona Recommends, because she has her lovely little confetti moments. So I hope you guys are kind of really getting the point, and I'm sorry if I'm beating a dead horse, but you want to create a brand. And so that's the piece that, I guess, makes it or breaks it. And last thing, back to the beautiful grid, and I'm so sorry for kind of getting sidetracked. I like to use the app. It's called Planoly. And basically what I do is I kind of input my pictures, say that I want to use for the week, and you can kind of click and drag the pictures around so you can see what they would look like on your Instagram feed. And this is nice because you never want to put like quotes back to back, or a quote like literally on top of a quote, or if you have a picture that's really white and bright and you put it next to another one that's white and bright, it might look kind of funky and offset it. And so it's just kind of nice to kind of click and drag and move that your pictures around until you see what you like. And then that's honestly how I distinguish the order that I'm gonna post. And then I'm gonna go ahead and throw in maybe like one more piece of advice for you, because it just kind of came to mind. So another thing that I like to do is you really want to get in the habit, and this is, again, a huge time saver. People always ask me, how do you have time to do all this? Pre-plan your pictures. And that's not saying that's not like false or in the moment. If anything, I feel like you're taking more time. My husband goes to school every other weekend down in San Diego, so I literally have the whole weekend to myself to work on teachers pay teachers things, social media things, and that kind of sense. And so I sit down on one of those days over the weekend and kind of map out my week, okay? I'll take pictures. I'll think of what I want to talk about and kind of pre-plan. And with that app Planoly was nice too, is you can actually pre-type out your captions. And what I like about that is instead of you kind of, oh shoot, I need to post by 2:30, that's the time that I usually post at, and you're like quickly trying to press out and type out this caption that's like probably maybe has spelling mistakes, isn't as thoughtful, post it out there, and then you're like, man, I didn't get as much interaction as I thought I was gonna get. Well, by kind of doing it ahead of time, I'm putting just a tad more thought into it. I actually really truly stare at the picture and think about what the message is that I want to portray, and kind of almost tell a story about how I felt, what I'm going to do next time. If I was talking about a post that like, oh my gosh, my kids are driving me crazy, I think it's just I was tired and I needed to really pull it in. And so I can kind of really tell the story rather than like, ah, kids are driving me crazy, that's that, right? And I can really make sure that there's like no spelling mistakes, that it sounds good, and that it really is something that's going to portray, I guess, my best writing capabilities. And again, this is just nitpicky, but I constantly think of like, Haley, you are a teacher, you better not have any grammar mistakes and stuff out there. And obviously we're all human, so it happens, but like to me, I'm again critical about myself. And so again, it gives me another chance to kind of scan it out. And then when I'm like ready to post it, I'm not stressed. I'm like, oh, okay, it's already done for the week. So that means when it pops up 2:30, okay, time to post it, throw my hashtags on there. And then I'm ready to interact with everybody, rather than like, ah, I need to read the caption, make sure it's spaced out correctly, make sure there's no spelling mistakes, in that kind of sense. So it kind of saves you time, makes you feel more at ease. It's kind of a way to feel more organized. And then you really want to make sure too, when you're kind of pre-planning, is it's better to not post than to post something that's mediocre. You always want to give everyone your best. You never want to post like, oh, I haven't posted in 3 days, I have to post something, I guess I'll just snap this picture. No, you want to share things that are meaningful, that are worth sharing. That's probably how you'll lose followers, and you'll probably notice if you look kind of scroll through your feed, oh, that one didn't get as much interaction. It's probably because it was a rush post, and I'm not going to lie, and I'm here to be honest with you guys, it's definitely happened to me, where I've stressed, need to post something, didn't pre-plan it ahead of time, threw it up there. Oh man, it didn't get as much exposure as I thought it would, and this was a pretty cool idea. Well, maybe if I would have taken a little bit more time on the caption, or taken a better picture, not something that's so like rushed, then I probably would have gotten a little bit more interaction.
Okay, so now I kind of want to like switch keys here a little bit. And I've kind of talked to you guys about using your Instagram, obviously, in the best way that you can. Okay, and so now I want to kind of quickly touch on how I guess you could say, talk about my Instagram in my classroom, how I ask kind of for permissions and how I'm able to post pictures of my students. So back to school night, which I'm really kind of, it's bittersweet, thankful that it's literally the second night that we have school. So kids come to school, the next day or night is back to school night. And so I take this obviously as an opportunity while I'm discussing kind of my rules and homework policies and all that stuff. I talk about my Instagram in front of my parents. And so basically the way that I kind of talk about it is like, okay, I just want to let you guys know that I have a teacher Instagram, and I pass out basically a waiver. And you can actually download this for free on my Teachers Pay Teachers. I'll put a link in the show notes, so you can kind of just see what how I word it. I also have Class Dojo, and I do a PowerPoint at the end of the year. So I just kind of, and our school does our own photography policy, but I kind of wanted just to like kind of cover my own skin because it's like I'm probably one of the only teachers on our campus that will obviously post pictures of my students on social media. And so I kind of talk about how like I use my blog for education and to share with educators what I'm doing in the classroom. And I kind of also like to kind of back it up with by you signing this, you're kind of giving me permission to be able to use pictures of your students. And you always want to make sure to tell them that I'm never going to post their name with their face. Anytime I'm doing a story, I always try to make sure to cover up certain pieces of information that would kind of, I guess, give it away. One thing you have to be careful of is when you're taking pictures of students working, maybe make sure that you kind of blur out their name tag because you could easily do this by accident. So that's why you have to be really careful. I'm very careful when I choose the pictures that I choose for my Instagram. And then I will tell them just like you have the opportunity to tell, say, yes, that's okay, or no, I'd rather you not take pictures and post it of my kid on the internet, but it's still okay to use in the slideshow. So I kind of have a couple different things that they can check and then sign off on. And then I just kind of reiterate, like just letting you know, like if your child won't be posted on here, and if they are in the background or something, they're going to be blurred out, or an emoji will be over their face, just to make it really clear. And just kind of really be honest with what you're using it for. Like I'm using it for hopefully to educate educators and to show them what we're doing in our classroom and just to kind of really share some really cool, neat ideas that we're doing. Now, with when I kind of say this to the kids, I kind of word it a little differently. And yes, I do talk about it in front of my students. I want them to know why I have my phone out. I'm so anal about like wanting to always look professional, so I would hate it if like my principal popped in and it looked like I was on my phone. I use Class Dojo, like I said before, so I also am giving points on that thing too, so I'm like constantly kind of have my phone in my back pocket. But so I tell the kids, like, okay, guys, I'm just gonna let you know, and I don't go start off by saying my Instagram handle. I don't, that's not my purpose. I don't want them to kind of go out and find me. They do, anyways, and I'll talk about that in a minute, but. So I say, okay, guys, I just want to let you know that I have an Instagram and I have a website. And so if you see me like taking pictures, that's what we're using it for. And you really, and this sounds so silly, and this kind of goes back to like classroom management. Like you have to make sure to say it, otherwise they're not going to know that they need to be make sure that they are acting, I guess, professional. And again, I teach fifth grade, so this is some words and stuff that I can talk about. You need to look professional. Like I'm sharing these, we as a class are sharing these cool, amazing things with other teachers across the country, across the world. And so I want you guys to make sure that you're really showcasing the best part of you. Do you think it's funny to be, we're all working really hard, then you're going to be the silly one that like makes a face and then they're all like, oh no. That's not, then I have to retake it, or then it's not, then it's useless. It's not showing your best behavior. It's you showing, oh, there's a camera. Okay, I'm gonna try and goof off. And so we really have a great discussion about this. Honestly, the first day of school, I really want them to kind of also in a way have a model of how to use social media, I guess, in a good way. Fifth grade is kind of, unfortunately, when kids nowadays are getting phones, and so I just kind of want them to know how someone can professionally use it. Okay, and then now the last area I'm going to talk about for like kind of the student side is what happens when your students find you on Instagram. For those of you that teach maybe like the primary, that's probably not going to be such a usual thing. And if, to be quite honest, it's something for me for fifth grade that just kind of happened this past year. Last year, I don't know if just a lot of my students didn't have cell phones or they just kind of kept to themselves. But I had a lot of students this year kind of finding my account. They would message me or like comment on photos. And so this is kind of what I, how I kind of treat it as. You know, you have to be careful. I never want to appear as like the creepy teacher that's messaging her students. So whenever they like message me, obviously I'm not going to sit there and ignore it because I don't want their little feelings to get hurt. So every now and then, depending on what it is that they're messaging me, sometimes I will like, oh, wow, that's great. Like I had one of my little students, she had messaged me. She was basically saying like, I miss you and telling me about her vacation. And I kind of, after like maybe a couple back and forth, I kind of ended it at that. Have a nice summer. Wish you the best in sixth grade kind of thing. and then if they will comment on my pictures, if it's, I'm going to say appropriate, no one's ever said anything inappropriate, but like, obviously they're in fifth grade, so you can only imagine sometimes the comments that they're posting. Sometimes I might even like delete it if I feel like it's not adding to the conversation. If it's something meaningful, then I'll leave it and I'll like it. And you just get, you get to be kind of walk that fine line of what do you think is appropriate. And if you feel like they're commenting inappropriate things, you might have to actually sit down and talk to that student. I have students all the time that'll interact with my stories and stuff, and I don't do anything in that case. It's really only if it, if I feel like it's not, just to kind of give them like a, hey, I see you, miss you too kind of thing. And that's kind of what I leave it at. I don't want to kind of create this big thing, because I feel like as an educator, you have to be very careful with the things that you, I'm going to say to your students in a space where it can be kept permanent. Okay, so like with a direct message, I don't know, that might appear kind of weird. So I'm sorry if you're one of my students and you're listening to this, but I probably won't message you back. And if you keep messaging me, I'm just letting you know it's, I'm probably deleting them. To me that feels like a weird space, especially because they're so young. I don't know. That's just me. And you can kind of change that however you feel works for you. But to me, I just feel like that's an area you need to definitely be very careful in. So I think that's kind of all I have for you guys today. I hope you got something meaningful. I hope I was able to share Instagram kind of in a different light. You see so much out there about like how to run a successful Instagram and how to grow your followers. And so I hope you guys are thinking it almost in a way of like, how can I make it successful? Or how can I make it do the most for me? And I think that's the part that it's important. Again, making those connections, using it to get inspired, and using it hopefully to inspire others. Like, I used to hate being on camera. And I found that the stories are my most successful area. People will message you back. You'll get followers that way. They'll see you. They'll swipe up on a story. And so it's just such a fun way to be even more interactive, especially when you add some of those stickers on there, like polls and questions, and just a really great way to know your followers. And so I, like I said, the more interactive you are, the better. And that's just, I guess, what I'm going to kind of leave it at that. So thanks again for listening, you guys. I will see you next week. So I guess this is it till next time. Yes, don't forget to check out the show notes for any of the links that I discussed in today's episode. If you enjoyed today so far, please share it with a friend, because the more, the merrier. Thanks for tuning in, and I can't wait to see you guys next time.